Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. We're talking about this whole process of prayer, caring, and then sharing. You'll see a lot of this very theme in the text here in Colossians 4, beginning with verse number 3. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. Praise God. Colossians, of course, is one of the prison epistles written from Rome. And Paul is imprisoned. And I don't know about you, but I was just thinking about the circumstances of being held in bondage and being imprisoned. If I was in that circumstance, I would probably be sending out a prayer request. Pray for me that I'll get out of this place. Pray for me that I can be set free from this circumstance. But he sends out a prayer request, and he's not asking for anything for himself. Not asking to be released. Not asking for any particular personal need that he has. I think that too often our prayers are self-centered. Our prayers are selfish. Not that you shouldn't pray about your needs and your family and your circumstance. Sure, we all are concerned about our own personal needs, but it is a problem, I think, that we can slip into that attitude where we really are only thinking about our needs and our problems. And here is the Apostle Paul in Roman imprisonment, and he says, I've got a prayer request. Pray for us. And his prayer was, pray that a door of utterance would be opened. And so, our prayers, I think that we need to shift our thinking, our focus upon many that are around us that go unnoticed, that we don't even think about their spiritual needs. But they are, they're everywhere. This evening as I was going over these verses and making preparation for this service tonight, I was going over, some of these thoughts about praying for those that I don't even know and having compassion for those kind of people. I received two phone calls here in the process of that. The first one was a man saying, all everybody else, their funds have dried up, and I just wanted to know if y'all could help me with my utilities. And I was kind of quick and maybe a little short with him and just said, I'm sorry, our utilities here at the church have been so expensive, we don't have any funds at all to help you. I'm sorry. And that was the end of the conversation. As soon as I hung up, I thought, here I am going through this whole study on compassion and concern, and I had to take a moment and say, Lord, what's going on here? I'm sorry that I'm not compassionate toward people. You don't necessarily have to pay their bills to show compassion, but you can show compassion toward people. Well, about 10 minutes later, the Lord gave me a chance to redeem myself. And another person called this time, a lady called and described her situation and her need. And I did my best to show compassion to her and to let her know we were concerned and that we'd pray with her. And I got information, some contact information, to see if maybe there'd be something that we could do. I don't want to ever be guilty of turning my head away from people that are in need. I don't want to be guilty of that. I have sometimes I form opinions about people before than I ever, you know, even know about them or know about their need. Jesus, when he saw the multitudes of people, the Bible says he saw them, he had compassion upon them, that they were in need. It says that he was moved with compassion because they fainted and that they were scattered abroad. They had no shepherd to lead them. They were just kind of out there alone and weak and in need. And Jesus saw them and he was moved with compassion. So instead of being our response being disgust toward people if they're tattooed from neck to foot and not dressed like we would like them to be dressed, and you know, just people like that, sometimes you just your immediate response is I don't like these kind of people. I don't want to be around these kind of people. These kind of people bother me. But Jesus saw people who were in great, great need, and he had compassion on them. He had compassion. I am coming up way short, and I think that probably many of us are in this same predicament, that we don't see people. We just kind of live in our little world. You know, that's one of the problems that oftentimes takes place in the life of Christians. We get saved, we learn the lessons of the importance of separating ourselves from the world and living a godly life. And in all of our effort to separate ourselves from the world, we just kind of isolate ourselves from people that are in need of the Lord. And so, obviously, I'm not suggesting that we participate in them, and we can't be close, intimate with friends, with people who are just living evil, ungodly lives, but we can show compassion, and it can be real. We can ask the Lord to fill our hearts with the love of God for them, because Jesus saw people in their need, and he had compassion upon them. It should bother us. It should disturb us when we hear about people who die, and there's no knowledge of whether or not they know the Lord. It should bother you whenever you see the reports in the news of people that are in such desperate situations and need help from the Lord. We should have compassion. So I'm amazed that Paul was not saying, "Lord, get me out of this prison." He understood that the Lord had placed him and allowed him to be there, and that his testimony was in king's palaces, and his imprisonment gave to him many opportunities to witness and to spread the gospel, even in the prison situation that he was in. And so he did not look at his own need, but his priority was the need of others. Amen. The needs of others. I'm reminded in Luke 14 and 21 of the parable that Jesus told about the great feast and sending out the invitation for all of those. Of course, we know that's a picture of the Jews and their rejection of the gospel, their rejection of Jesus. It says that each one with consent, all of them began to make excuse. I've married a wife, I've bought some land, I've got some cattle, all these excuses. They all made excuses. And the Bible says that the Lord of that feast was angry and said, "Turn away from them." And this was, describing the opportunity, the door being opened up to the Gentiles, that everyone, whosoever will, would have an opportunity to receive the message of the gospel. Verse 21 of Luke 14, it says, "So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind.'" Now some would spiritualize this, and there probably is some spiritual aspect to that, but these were people that were poor. These were people that were handicapped, people that had all kinds of needs. And needy people need Jesus. Needy people need the gospel. And needy people have their hearts already opened to the gospel. and to the Lord, because they recognize that they are in need of something that they don't possess. Verse 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. It's really describing going out into the alleyways and the out of the way places and find those people that you would normally think they're unworthy and undeserving, but you go after them and fill up my house with those people, invite them to the feast. Amen. A lot of people that are in our community that need help. They need the Lord. There are so many needs, so many problems, so many that are away from God. And so we should do what the scripture says. Pray. He said, pray for us that God would give to us a door of utterance, that he would open the door, that he would give us an opportunity. Amen. That's what we've been asking you to do. Pray and ask the Lord to give you an opportunity to minister to those that are in need. Amen. And let the need be your cue that they are a person that very well might be responsive to the gospel because they are already in need. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we need to take advantage of this. This was his prayer. Lord, give us a door of utterance, an opportunity to spread the gospel. He said, Lord, that I will have an opportunity, that I'll have an opportunity to speak the mysteries of Christ. It's an interesting word, that the mystery of Christ. It's like those that are silenced. The word there, mystery, it means something that's been set that's kind of secreted, and that they are cut off, and that they might be able to hear what they have not been able to hear, and to receive what they have not been able to hear and receive. That the Lord would open the door. And by the way, you know, we need to remember that it's not all necessarily going to happen in one short few minutes where you say, okay, the door is open, I'm going to jump in there and give them the gospel and try to pray them through right now. That's not often the way it works. Amen. Many times it's just a little crack in the door that's open, and you just have an opportunity to minister the love of God to them, and to help them and to bless them, show that you care and that you're interested in them, and then the door will get a little bit open, a little bit wider, a little bit wider, and a little bit wider, and you're just gradually bringing people to that place where they'll finally be open to hear the gospel, to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, give me a door of utterance. Give me an opportunity to speak to those that have been isolated, those that have been cut off from the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he says, for which I am also in bonds. There's a sacrificial aspect of this. There's a price to pay whenever you're willing to be used of the Lord to carry the gospel. You're going to find yourself in a place where you have to pay a price. The Apostle Paul did. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There will be times when you'll pay a price for it. And the cost will be great. But that was the prayer request that he had. Verse 4, that I may, this is all a part of this prayer request, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. What an important part of this prayer request. It literally means that I could somehow make the message clear, make it manifest, that I would be able to speak the message clearly, and that they would understand what I'm saying. Amen. You know, people in the world, they don't often understand. A lot of people, it's surprising, but even in our community with so many churches and so many opportunities, yet there are great numbers of people in this community, in this county, that they don't know the Lord, and you'd be surprised at those, especially of the younger generation, children and teens, that know very little about the Bible and about the gospel. So when you start talking to them about Jesus and about the cross and about the resurrection and many of the things that we just take for granted because we were just, it's, we've talked about it all of our life. But they don't understand a lot of the terminology and a lot of the things, the ways that we talk about the Lord and about the things of the Lord. So we need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me the word so that I can make it clear to these people, to this individual, so that I can have a, that the message will be clear and understandable to them so they can receive the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. As I've been saying in recent services, your spirit communicates louder than your words. They can tell if what you're doing is just a duty. I'm supposed to witness to five people and pray for five people. The preacher said to do it, so I'm going to have to do it. They can tell if it's duty or if it's love that's motivating you. Amen. They can tell your spirit, and love is the greatest communicator. Amen. When you truly and genuinely love people in their need. So a part of this prayer request was that I might make it manifest, that I might be able to make the message clear as I ought to speak. Lord, give me the words to say so I can say what needs to be said to people that are in need. Now, too often we excuse ourselves and we just say there's only a few select people that are really good witnesses and they're gifted to be evangelists, but every one of us, if you are born again, then you're called of God to carry the gospel and to reach people. And I just want to remind you that there will be people that probably will very likely not be saved unless you are willing to be used of the Lord. Amen. So pray and ask the Lord, Lord, I'm going to talk to this person. Would you open the door? Even if you just crack it open just a little bit, open the door. Give me an opportunity. And then, Lord, help me to speak the words that you want me to say. Help me to communicate the gospel in a way that they can hear it and understand it. Do a work of your spirit, Lord, and cause me to be able to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Who's without? It's those that are outside. Those, walk in wisdom before those that are out there in the world. Don't hang up on them when they call. Don't be short with people out in the world. Amen. Amen. Remember that they are a soul. They have a soul, and that they are loved by God as much as you are. And Jesus went to the cross for them as much as he did for you. And they may be an unsavory character. They might be bums, and that might be the lifestyle that they live. But they need us to show wisdom in how that we deal with them, lest we be a stumbling block to them. How many people, and I know that a lot of times it's just an excuse when they say, oh, that church is just filled with people that are just hypocrites, and I don't want to go and be a part of that bunch of hypocrites. And I know most of the time that's just an excuse that people use. But there may be times that they have witnessed shortcomings, and they have seen those that have been inconsistent. They have seen church-going people that do one thing on Sunday and another thing throughout the rest of the week. And that inconsistency is a stumbling block to the unsaved. So it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Understand that that's a wonderful phrase, redeeming the time. It means buy up opportunities, from the Greek. Buy up opportunities. Take advantage of opportunities. Redeem the time. And walk in wisdom toward those that are without, those that are outside of the kingdom, outside of the body of Christ, outside of the church. Be careful of your testimony, your lifestyle, and your attitudes that are expressed toward those out there in the world. Amen. Be cautious that you always demonstrate Christ before them, that you live a righteous, godly testimony before them, and that you're not hateful or in any way show an attitude that's not Christ-like toward those that are out in the world. Everyone out there in this world, they deserve a good, godly influence in their life. They need somebody to encourage them toward the things of the Lord. And so, walk in wisdom before those that are without and buy up the opportunities as if it's something that's very precious. And take advantage of the opportunities that the Lord gives to you. And don't say, well, maybe later or maybe there'll be a better time. But whenever the Lord opens the door and you see that you can meet a need and you could minister to them and you could show the love of God to them, then you take advantage of that opportunity. Amen. Glory to God. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. This is all a part of this prayer. Pray. For me, this is Paul praying in prison, and he's asking the Lord, Lord, open the door so I can witness and give me opportunities to speak to those that are isolated from the gospel, and give me, Lord, the words to say so that I can make it a clear message to those that don't understand about the gospel, and then help my life. Help me to walk in wisdom before them and to take advantage of every precious opportunity, because you do not know if you'll ever have the opportunity again. You just don't know if you'll ever have that opportunity again. Verse 6, let your speech be always with grace. Amen. Always with grace. Let your speech, the word grace just means a gift. Let your speech be like a gift. That you're speaking kind words, gracious words. That when you come around people that are unsaved, that they know that you're not going to be the person that's going to be giving them a scowl and saying, why are you living that way and you're wicked and evil. But instead, your testimony and your speech, you're going to come. And your speech is going to be always with grace. It's going to be gracious. Amen. Always gracious. Amen. We all need to work on this, including me. Need to be gracious. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Now we know that nobody or very few people would ever take and put a handful of salt in your mouth. It's bitter. It's horrible. But if you've got a big plate of food and just the right amount of salt is just wonderful. It's perfect. Just the right amount of season makes it perfect. So what we need is a big plate full of graciousness. A big plate full of the gift of God ministering to people with love and compassion. With just a little bit of salt. And there are times when you have to just to speak the truth in love. And those times are necessary, and they're important that you not compromise what you believe, that you stand for the truth. But let it just be, you know, you don't have to have a whole lot of salt to be effective. Isn't that true? If you put just a little bit too much salt in food, you just ruin it. But if you put just a little bit, little pinch, little sprinkle of salt, and that makes it palatable, that makes it taste good. And that's what the scripture here is saying. It's saying that your witness and your testimony, but your speech will always be with grace. And then you season a little bit with salt so that they can receive it. They can receive the truth in love because you've spoken with grace, but you've inserted the truth as well in there, the truth of the gospel, and that they are able to receive it. That you may know how you ought to answer every man. Amen. Right in these few verses is a wonderful prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed, that each one of us should be praying as we are praying and we are caring and we're sharing for those that need the Lord. And when the Lord gives you opportunity, then ask the Lord, Lord, give me speech that's always gracious, always like a gift to them. But then let me season it with just enough salt that it whets their appetite for the gospel and the things of the Lord, and that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Wisdom that you might be able to know what to say and at the appropriate time know exactly how to approach them and to speak to them about the Lord. I don't know about you, but some of these guys, and I respect people that are out, you know, street preaching and campus preaching, and I have a great deal of respect for people that do that, but I've heard some of the approach, and I have to tell you that I don't find it very biblical. There's a meanness about them and a harshness about them. And people out there in the world, they pick up on that when you're mean and mean-spirited and harsh, they don't understand why, but I just don't think it's biblical to be mean-spirited. Amen. Amen. Let your speech be gracious. Let it be like a gift. Season with a little salt, just enough to cause them to say, I need that. I need that in my life. I need the gospel. I need something in my life. And the Lord can give you the words to say so you'll know how. You can't just memorize the few words that you can say to everybody. Everybody's different. Every need is different. Every man, every woman is different. And every opportunity, you need the help of the Lord so that you'll know what to say and how to say it so that you can be the witness that the Lord would have you to be. Praise God. Amen. I pray that the Lord will stir up a bunch of people here in this Wednesday night meeting and over the next several weeks as we're going to be talking about souls and about the lost and different aspects of this very important message, and somehow we'll be stirred to take notice of that one that has always been there, but we rub shoulders with them, we're around them, but we've never asked the Lord to give us an open door to them. Amen. Amen. Are you willing to let the Lord use you? Amen. I pray that you will, and that you'll pray this similar prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed from his prison cell when most of us would have been more concerned about our own predicament. He was saying, Lord, I know you've put me here, and give me the words to say. Give me an open door. Give me opportunity. Let me present the gospel at the right time with the right words so that I can make it clear to them and that they will hear and receive the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Lord gives us opportunities, and sometimes they're disguised by trouble, problems, sickness. The Lord is arranging opportunities through adversities in your life. And the enemy wants you to be all consumed with yourself and your needs. But in the middle of all that, if you would just look around and look at others and see that there are people that are in great need spiritually, and you're so blessed because you're born again. You may be in a fiery trial, but you're saved. Praise God. And there's a lot of people that have great spiritual needs that need the Lord, and He gives to all of us opportunities. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen.